Okay, Rabbi Isai. We mentioned a number of times the great relationship, tremendous relationship, and the covet and respect that you find between Rav Dessler and his uncle, Rav Chaim Oizer. Rav Chaim Oizer, the Godel Ador, at the same time, Rav Dessler, the Godel of the Bala Musar, had a very, very unique and very close relationship. And Rav Dessler got married around the year 1920 or so. There was a special Michtav Brocha, a Michtav Brocha that was sent by Rav Chaim Oizer to Rav Dessler, Lekovet his Chasana. Rav Dessler, at the time, he married the daughter of Rav Nochem Velvel. Rav Nochem Velvel was the son of the Altar of Kelim, the great Bal Musar. So Rav Dessler marries the granddaughter of the Altar of Kelim. And Rav Chaim Oizer, from a distance, quite a way, he sends a letter, Lekovet HaChasana, where one can see the, it's not just a wedding card, but actually you can see the tremendous lishoinus and the great love, endless expressions of ahava that comes through, really from the, between the uncle and nephew, from that particular letter. And anybody who is a little bit familiar with the writings of Rav Chaim Oizer would be able to see and to recognize the exceptional chavivus and the love that is being expressed between Rav Chaim Oizer and Rav Dessler. To give you just a few lines over here, he writes like this, and this was again to the upon the marriage of Rav Dessler. He writes him Ahuvi. He says, Ahuvi, my beloved, mipi ha'shmuah shomanu ki chagagtem chag chakunaschem. He says, we heard mipi ha'shmuah that you had got married, celebrated your marriage. And he writes, v'tipoem ruchenu ma'asimcha. He says, clearly he says that we are very excited from this simcha. Aval, he says, ha'im yuchal ha'gilyo in ha'kotzer. Look at what Chaim Oizer writes. Is it possible, he says, on a simple small piece of paper, so to speak, lo'hochil es kol rag sheyseinu elecho. In other words, it's not possible, merely, he says, to commit pen to paper would not do justice to express, he says, the hargoshe and my feelings that I have towards you. And then he writes, Ha'im gam sefer sholem. It's amazing l'shoinis. And even a complete sefer, would a complete sefer even yochai limser, would it be possible to give over rachshe levoveinu, to give over, clearly he says, the expressions of our heart, with saras ruchenu, and the spirit, our spirit that is so storm becomes excited, l'nefesh kishura benafshiseinu, to someone who is so connected, the two nefoshes, our two nefoshes are so connected. Would even a sefer sholem suffice to be able to write and to express, he said, that tremendous gesture that we have. So he says, so ben koi b'koi. So in the meantime, he says, hinenu mevarchem eschem, we wish you may have a brocha. He says, a mazel tov, hashgura b'finu, which is common for us to say, that we say, because brocha should bring upon you shifas brocha, a lot of brocha. Re'ei chayim yoy melochem. He said, now he has a play on words. See to it that you have chayim v'loy rechayim, cholile. In the Gemara, rechayim means someone who has to mucha for panosa, rechayim. Rechayim b'savoroi. So he says, he takes out, it should not be Rechaim, it should be Chaim. So see to it, he says, my bracha is Re'ei Chaim Yoy Malochem, V'loy Rechaim Cholila. And then he says to him, look how fortunate you are, that you married a granddaughter, he says, of the altar from Kelim, he says to him, Ashrecho. He says, how fortunate you are. Shezochisu L'boch Livchor, Be'almo Bastoivim. He says, from a young woman, a Bastoivim, Kroivel Rechacho, who is committed to the same ideals that you believe in, be'emunas oimer, whether it's in the area of emuna, be'musar or be'midos. And he says, v'ashrei, he says, also le'basziv, and also she's lucky that she found someone like you, shemotzo ben giloy, odom hama'ala, someone of such a mile. Ashreichem yekiri, he says, again he says, happy and fortunate, shetichyu chayim shel shivu hadeyos, should always see eye to eye, he says. And I just can only say to you, as Chazal have said, Kumashomru Chachomenu, Ilon, Ilon, when you have, you know, such a beautiful tree, famous, there's a song about that also, the Gemara in Tainis, Bamevar, Rechacho, what bracha can I give you? You have everything. What can I give you? That the payers that come out, right, should be the same milas, the same madregas that you have, a doyer yeshor and tiru and so on and so forth. And he says you should produce arozim be Yisrael, cedars and klal Yisrael. Because you also come, he says, from the mighty cedars, from the great Gedolei Hador, he says, Hashem Hem Nivnisim, that you are built from, should also be able to produce that, and so on. And he goes on and on and on, and he says, the only thing he says, just make sure you keep writing to me. He says, I want to know and hear about, he says, how you're faring, how things are going with you. Hinini Doidchem Yekirchem, I left out in the middle, but that's he signs off. He says, your uncle Yekirchem, my Habchem, who's married you, who's machabed you, and who loves you, kulay shalachem, I belong to you. Rabbi Chaim Moser writes, this is again Chaim Moser Gizensky. This is Rabbi Chaim Moser. Even this, to see this, Rabbi Chaim Moser did not just write Gizmoyes. There's a whole kovitz. They printed letters, and literally hundreds of letters of Rabbi Chaim Moser. Very rare you're going to find some kind of this type of a close expression to anyone. The interesting thing is that a few years after Rav Dessler got married, in fact, there was some parnosa issues. So Rabbi Chaim Moser, right away, he says, sends him a letter and says, proposes to him. He says, come to Vilna. He said, I appoint you as a dayan. Come to Vilna, I'll appoint you a dayan. You'll have a job. I'll give you a job. Chaim Moser Vilna. Come, he says, and he says, you get a job. There's a Vad HaRabbonim in Vilna. And we'll see to it that you become a dayan there. The fact is that not unclear why, but Rav Dessler did not accept the position for personal reasons. And he just went on further. So just to make it just interesting to point out that at that kufa when Chaim Moser proposed that he should be a dayan, whether he accepted it or not, interesting thing, he also gave him a letter of smicha. Chaim Moser gave smicha to Rav Dessler. What's noteworthy to point out that Chaim Moser in all of his life hardly gave any smichas. He only gave two other smichas. You know to whom? That's a mind-boggling thing. Who do you think got smicha from Chaim Moser? Two smichas. That's all. Of all the thousands of Bnei Torah, Bnei Yeshiva, you can imagine who would have opted to and stomach try to get smicha from Chaim Moser. With the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Shkop, Shem Shkop. Interesting thing. Chofetz Chaim, Shem Shkop. It was said that Chofetz Chaim wasn't interested in getting a smicha. They needed it for governmental reasons. There's certain things you have to have a title, rabbi, whatever. Said so. Chaim Moser was recognized. So it's a kapar, but lemaise. So the two smichas that he wrote out was one for the Chofetz Chaim and another for Shem Shkop, and they needed it. Al kapar. And here is just to give you just a few words of the smicha that again the Rabbi Chaim Moser wrote out for Rav Dessler. And he writes like this. Hidden imakir hetev, I recognize very well, I know very well. As kavod harav agoin edyo legoin lutaferis. He says, Rabbi Yoel Yosef Dessler. He says, Nin venechet, who is a grandchild, lahagoin or Yisroel, right? The luminary of Klausor, Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. As we know, we mentioned, Rav Dessler was a great grandson of Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. And writes to Chaim Moser, Beyaldusoi, from his youth, meaning Rav Dessler's youth. Sort of like in his infancy stage, your dati already, I already recognized, and I knew as kashrin nois of hamutzuyonim. I recognize the special kishroinus, the intelligence and the talents. Sho olulius echon mgdoyle hazman. The redessel will be that he's destined to be one of the gdoyle hador, mgdoyle hazman. That what I already saw meyaldusoy. But achekach, and as the years went by, hoisif miknosoi, he added to be koine more and more to acquire yedias atoire and to grow in his godless. But besides his godless betoires, says Rabbi Chaim Moser, it's yerosoi kedemos al chachmosoi, his yeshemai precedes his chachma. It's great as he is in Torah, his yeshemai precedes his chachma. And I saw, he says, a kankan chodesh molyoshin. I saw a young, right, a new pitcher that's filled with a lot of old wine in it, bibikias and charifas, hamoke, in depth. And Chaim Moser says, I had the opportunity many, many times to speak in serious learning with Rav Dessler, he says. Kam upon him hoyli itoy masumatin, that was give and take, shal haloche. And I saw many kuntaresim, I saw many booklets that he wrote. Ba'oimik tuvanose, with the depth of his avona, hayishora, is straightforward, glantikop. Isha Shaila Loy, a person has all these milas. Royal Ias Noise Degala Torah, he should be the one who carries the flag of Torah. Bahoi Roar and Tapaskin. Be'ir Gedoyle, he deserves to be a Rav in a large city, not a small Rabbonis. Deserves Be'ir Gedoyle. So he writes, he says, Ashrei lahakila, fortunate and happy would be the Kehila, Ashatif Chaboy, that chooses him. V'tosim keser ho Rabbonis al shichmoy. He said, it'll be lohem, to them it'll be a covet to Ferris. And you know what? Chazal say, take it to Talmud Chochem Brocha. If you bring him into your town, keep you sure that the town will be blessed. Because bringing in such a Talmud Chochem, that's even Stama Talmud Chochem. But Rav Chaim Moshe writes, the Tekev, he says, but Tekev, he says, the Talmud Chochem Godel Shekem Moshe is harder Brocha. If Chazal say Tekev the Talmud Chochem Brocha, can you imagine a great Talmud Chochem is all that much more Brocha? The greater Talmud Chochem will bring all that much more Brocha. And so on, he points out to say, I sign off the Kovet HaTov L'mdeo. So here's just a little bit again, a little bit of some of the, a little bit of the personal life again of Rav Dessler. We are here, actually, page 12, and we go to the bottom, where the bottom paragraph, which is Ad Kan. Bottom paragraph, which is Ad Kan. And this way we are still, if you remember, we're still in the middle, trying to complete an essay and to get finally to get to the answer, which hopefully we get to it today. And that is again the beginning that he raised in the beginning of this particular essay. How do we understand Bechlau? What does it mean, Midas Adin and Midas Arachmin? In the Midas Adin means the attribute of justice, which means if someone deserves based upon his behavior, right? So Midas Adin would suggest that, of course, this is what's supposed to be meted out. So what does Rachmanis mean? Does Rachmanis mean because Rachman bends the rules? Is it really such a thing? Rachmanis means he doesn't deserve it, but because I have pity on him? How are we supposed to understand what is Midas Adin versus Midas Arachmin? How do these two work in concert? There's something called Midas Adin, and yet there's something called Midas Arachmin. Some people somehow don't deserve Rachmin, some do deserve Rachmin. How does it work? What does it depend on? And what does it really mean? Second of all, the question was, there's the concept of Schus Ovois. That's something that we're still in the middle of. What does Schus Ovois mean? Does it mean that you have, we invoke, we say, Elikeinu v'Elikei Aviseinu, Elikei Avraham, Elikei Yitzchak v'Elikei Yaakov? So it means just because we are descendants of the Ovois, that means that therefore we deserve special treatment? And is it raised in this question? The common question would be, if you have two people, two criminals, let's call it as it is, two criminals would come before a judge, both guilty of the same crime, one of the criminals happens to be the son of a friend of the judge, what does that mean that the judge would be able? What? Would it be correct? Would it be appropriate that he should therefore have different consideration and show favoritism, and the other one was not privileged to be born? Right? To be the son of the friend of the judge, therefore he should get it different. So what does it mean because we are descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu would treat us differently? How does that work? So we had here, as Rav Dessler started out, first of all, just to summarize so we can move on from here, and that was based upon the essay of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin told us that in fact, being that we are descendants of Avraham, it means basically that not means that we are merely biologically connected, but it means is that Avraham Avinu's midos and character traits basically are something, right, that become inherited, and becomes ingrained in the genetic makeup of the descendants. Meaning, therefore, that the fact that Avraham Avinu already had demonstrated all the mysterious nefesh that he had, right, whether it's the Akedo, Kedas Yitzchak, was the area of allowing himself to be thrown into Kivshon Oesh, that mid of Mesiras Nefesh, which is the Mahus, which is the makeup of Avraham Avinu, we yarshin that same ability. We yarshin that ability. That's where we're hidden throughout the ages, throughout history. When push came to shove, and they were asked, either given the choice, either to be baptized or to give the life and so on, and we find the Yidden, which were not all that great Bala Madrega at all, and we find that they were ready to give up their lives for the sake of their religion. Where did they get that koyach from? Where did they get that strength from? And the answer was, they got it, that's really, is part of Avraham Avinu, that's in each and every Yid. Each and every Yid has a chelik of Avraham Avinu, means he has that potential. He has that potential, Mesiras Nefesh, coming from Avraham Avinu. So we basically Yarshin. Now, we have that potential. However, at the same time, we have something called Bechira. Bechira means that even though we have that potential, we have the choice to reject it as well. Because that's what Bechir means. Bechir means just because we have within ourselves, we have Yarshim from Ovinu, tremendous koiches, tremendous abilities, but that does not force us to behave in one way or another. That just allows it to mean that we have the tools, we have the wherewithal. Should we choose to, we have that reservoir of strength, that reservoir of power that we Yarshim from Avraham Avinu, but at the same time does not negate the power of Bechir that every Yid has free will, and therefore he can reject and decide not to use those koiches to overcome his Yetzer Hara, but rather it's more convenient to follow the path of the Yetzer Hara, even though he would have had the koiches should he wanted to really overpower the Yetzer Hara, those koiches being Yarshim from Avraham Avinu. So Rav Dessler, so we start over here, and Rav Dessler says as follows. He says, Ad kan dibarnu, he says, till now we were really talking about, he says, Bibir, we're trying to explain. He says, Div Rabbeinu Chaim, Zechet Tzadik L'Brocha, we're explaining Rav Chaim, what Rav Chaim Elazar was saying. L'man Hovin, he says, in order to understand, he says, "So Oyer HaGodol Sheheir Alonu Medvarav HaKitzorim," he said. He said, the brief words that we find that really it contains tremendously sublime heights of wisdom. He says, as he says, "Gedoylem Ma'oid Ma'oid Adi Shemaim Yagiu." You realize that if you really think into what Reb Chaim told us, the koiches, the potential koiches, the tremendous koiches that every Yarshim from Avraham Avinu, he says that these words of Reb Chaim are something that reach tremendous heights. The Yesh Lohoisev, he says, now we can go further, he says. The Yesh Lohoisev says, now we can go further. He says, Hine klal kol hanesyoinus. In other words, what Rav Dessler is trying to say, that what we take out of Reb Chaim is, you know, we say we Yarshim from Avraham Avinu. In other words, what is the essential we want to define? If we were supposed to define in words, what's the essential characteristic, right, which enables a Yid to be able to withstand all of the tests and trials? In other words, yeah, we Yarshim from Avraham Avinu, but what is it? In other words, what is the ingredients of that we Yarshim? What per se, what specifically did we Yarshim? What characteristic did we Yarshim that gives us that ability? That gives us that ability, we said, to withstand successfully all the nesyonos. So he wants to explain it. Rav Dessler said, "Hini klal kol hanesyonos." He says, regarding all the challenges, "Uhakoyach hanifla," what we yashim from Avinu is the tremendous power. He said, "The power." He says, "Shel hishtabdus hagufnius." He says, "Lanefesh," to be able to subdue the bodily desires. They said to the neshama. Each and every person, each and every yid has continuous. There's tension between the nefesh and between the guf. The nefesh desires one thing, it desires ruchnius. The nefesh desires to come as closely as possible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the drive, that's the inner drive of the nefesh. On the other hand, you have the counterforce. The counterforce is the guf. The guf pulls totally, completely in the opposite direction. The question is, who's going to win? Right? So take off the gloves. No? So Mamela Zuktrav Dessler, the koyach v'yashin from Avinu is, the koyach v'yashin is, the koyach hanifla, the tremendous power, shall ishtabdus hagufnius, to allow the guf, right, to become subordinate, to be machniya itself, lenefesh. To be able to be machniya itself, the nefesh, to the neshama, which means, is we are able. A Yid is able, whether he realizes or not, a Yid has the ability to bring his guf. His guf means his base nature. He has the ability to take his basic nature under the control, he says, of the higher yearnings of the neshama. So he's able to subdue. He's able to subdue his basic nature, right? To be under the control of the higher yearnings of the neshama. He says, Lil Chaim Keneged Yetzer Hara. We have the ability. When do we ask in that ability? From Avraham Avinu. We have the ability. Yes, we have that ability. Lilchem keneged Yetzer Hara. To be able to do battle with the Yetzer Hara. Ulahachnui. And to subdue it and to conquer it. Lamoid, he says. Lamoid bipnimius halev al nekudas ha'emes hatohoiro. In other words, we are able to subdue the Yetzer Hara because we are able to confront the truth. The way to be able, because the Yetzer Hara is all sheker. It's a world of illusion. It's a world of illusion. The Yetzer Hara, all the things that the Yetzer Hara, which he implants in a person, that a person thinks that this is hatzlocha, that this is called success, all of that is truly illusion. It's totally a world of sheker. But in order to be convinced that it's sheker, a person has to be able to see clearly. What we ask from Avinu is the ability to see the truth, as he says. It's the ability to see the truth, to confront the truth, which the truth is in the innermost depth of the heart, of the Yiddish heart, he says. Lamoid, be able to focus, be pnimius alev, al nekudas ha'emes ha'toira. Ubeli hatis atzmenu, not to be fooled, lintois el ha'sheker ki'ilu ha'emes. Not to be swayed by the falsehood, which pretends to be the truth. This was an olam ha'sheker, which presents itself as this world is the world of truth. But we have to be able to see and have the ability to recognize the truth. And the truth, every yid has the truth within the pnimius of his life. He has to bring it out, and therefore he will not be swayed. He will not be swayed by all the sheker which pretends to be truth. So he says, Haloi, he says, Haklal shel kol eile. He says, the rule is, Koyech hadveikus el ho'emes be'emes, which means we have the ability to attach ourselves to the truth with truth. To attach ourselves to the truth with truth, not through some false highway, but to attach ourselves, that's called Koyech hadveikus el ho'emes be'emes. To attach ourselves to the truth, he says, in truth. And he says, that ability, gamkein, he says, Yorashnu mavisenu agdoshim. He says, it's this that we have inherited, he says, from our Oves HaKadoshim. He points out, so just before we go further, so very bekisser. So it comes out, so what did we darshan? So it comes out, basically we darshan a number of things we darshan from the Oves. We inherit from our Oves, says Rav Dessler, it's a number of things, which comes out from the words of Rav Chaim Volozhin. First of all, the ability to muster strength to overpower the Yitzhara. A Yid has to know that. A Yid has to know that he has within himself the enough strength to be able to overpower the Yitzhara. Rav Dessler says we also inherited the ability to see the truth and connect to that truth with truth. Because only then, if you see the truth, will you not be fooled. And then you'll know at least what to confront. So we're able to see the truth, right, and to connect to the truth with truth. But at the same time also, as Rav Dessler says, and I'll say again, means to say is we have the Koyach HaBechira, which means we have the Bechira to reject the truth. And we also have the Bechira to reject that which we have inherited. Not as, yes, we have the potential. We have the potential to overpower the Yisahara, but we have the Bechira to reject that power and go the other way, go to a different thing. But we always have to be mindful that our Yerusha means our Koyaches is built, right? It's built into our nature. We have it within our nature. All the koiches that Avraham Avinu basically possessed, we yarshin, right, a great deal of those koiches within each and every yid. So then he goes further. The emes is, even if we would not have yarshined, he said, from Avraham Avinu, there's a certain amount of good we could have done by ourselves, independent. The truth is, had we not yarshin, right? Had we not yarshin, tremendous potential from Avinu, he says, v'nei gamzula sakoyech hazeh. Without this ability, it would still be possible, he says, yesh asheyasa odom toiva. Yes, it is possible for a person, right, to do mitzvahs and to do good. He said, ulupomim gam toiva harbe. And sometimes he said, you can even do a great deal of good. But you know why? That's only when the Yetzirah does not confront you. In other words, you can do a lot of good. Some yonim of good are simply just you don't feel being challenged. Yeah, that kind of good you could have done even without the koyches coming from Avraham Avinu, he said. Avazehu, you see, all that is mipnesha ein yisra oimid benegdoi. That's only, he says, because the Yetzirah is not standing. And by the way, Rav Dessler says, you may ask, how come certain mitzvahs the Yetzirah stands in your way and certain not? So Rav Dessler said, that's a different cheshem, he says. Because yesh har b'sibos ha'shisavu kazois. The different sibos, he says, which he's not getting into. Why certain mitzvahs are being challenged by the Yetzirah, and you find it so difficult to do, another mitzvah Yetzirah says, go ahead and do it, you know. But so those mitzvahs, those good deeds, with the Yetzirah doesn't challenge you, he said, even without the koiches of Yarshin for Avraham Avinu, you would have been able to make it. He says, but you can imagine, Lu Yamad Yetzirah lehilochem boy, but the moment he said that the Yetzirah were to exert strength in any area, the Yetzirah would really try to stand against him, right? He says that in a moment's time, he would not have any resistance. He would collapse. So therefore, he says, Al-Kain, Horeya is koyach ha-tshuva b'yatzmoy, right? Therefore, a person who has not learned. In other words, a person has to realize and has to develop the koyach hatshuva lilcham biyitzroi uleshabrin, to break the yitzhar ulesaken esatzmoi lebal yaser ra'oid, right, and to fix himself to see that he does not continue. Ashikei leboy hine yeshloi, he has within himself this potential to do all that. Ma'oiso hashiris aruchnius, we have yarshined all that, he says, from the tremendous hashiris. That's from the tremendous hashiris that we have yarshined, he says. There's a tremendous spiritual strength, he says, that we have yarshined. This is the hashiris hanafshis, the spiritual hashiris, shirashna oisum avisenu, that we have yarshined for our office. So, now, Rav Dessler says, a person, if he wants to judge himself, he says, did he, right, lose the person? Now, a person can be very rich, right? But doesn't mean be rich for the rest of his life. You could be rich, but then something happens, right? And then things just turn around. Rav Dessler says also, in your spiritual link to the obvious, he says, you can also, that Ashiris, that we Yarshin, it's a Yerusha, it's a spiritual Yerusha. But that spiritual Yerusha you could also lose, he says. It's possible to lose, he says, but you can always rebuild, you can also regain it. How can you tell within yourself, he says, whether you lost that spiritual Yerusha? Says, Ades Leva'ato, he says, now let's move on now. Let me show you, what is the criterion? What is the criterion how you can judge whether or not that precious heritage is still alive within you? How can you judge whether that, right, that very chosh of a heritage, that Yasha from Avinu, whether it's still alive? So he says, V'ato now, he says, Alu kalechun mimenu, each and every one of us, yuchal adasim lehifsed es oishar hagodl. He's able to tell whether he did not lose, right, whether he did not lose that tremendous ashiras, ashenochal, that he yashin mavroam yisrav yakav aviseinu, mikol kadeshenu, and from all our predecessors, right, all the holy forces of Kedusha, meoz v'ato. He says, even worse, he says, Umagodla hasichlis, even worse. He says, the truth is, you can even, he says, the truth is that you are even able, he says, Magodla hasichlis shall oisa asher hichlifu. Because imagine, he says, we have to commiserate, Rav Dessler said. We have to commiserate with those unfortunate people who have exchanged. They have exchanged, they've given up rich spiritual inheritance for the illusory material gains. The people who took the riches, right? Some people make a mistake. Some people make a mistake, they take something, right? They take something that's very valuable, they exchange it for something, then they realize it was a bad deal. They gave up something very valuable for something that they thought is going to be choshev. And he says, we have to commiserate with those people who have abandoned, who have lost that tremendous Yerusha. He says, Magodla hasichlus, is unfortunately, says, how narish, he says, how foolish, those who have exchanged the Yerusha of Yisayim Huashiro, that rich Yerusha, begashmis namucha, they exchanged it, their spiritual heritage, they exchanged it, he says, for gashmis, for lowly materialism, she'aim bomamish, he says. And he says, even more than that, void yoiser. And worse, he says, worse is that many people have even, they defile their neshama. They were metama their neshama. He says, kitimu es nafshoi somba. That clearly in the process, they have defiled their neshama, and they became lifelong slaves, he says, to their natural desires, to their basic nature. He says, we have to have rachmonis on them, he says. Ki timus daf shoysom bo, he says, v'yiu l'chol yimei chayeyem l'mas oivet. What means l'mas oivet? All their life they're going to be slaves. Slaves to themselves, to their own taiva. They have no control of themselves. Ashreinu, ashreinu, but we are different, he says. Ashreinu, ashreinu, he says. But we, how great is our sense of joy. How fortunate we are. Shezochinu litoy mitzuf mesek toira agdoisho. That we have been privileged to taste the honey sweetness, he says, of the Torah Akdoisha. And therefore, he says, V'nil moibo, and learn from the Torah Yesoidis Ke'ele. We learn, right, the proper principles, the Toiv Lonu Kolayomim, that will stand us for good for the rest of our lives. Lechio Yischaye Nachas Ve'oinig, to be able to live a meaningful and joyous life, he says. With the spiritual ashirus, with the sweetness, as Ramchal really pointed out, there's nothing sweeter than having the opportunity to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he said, that we are able to hope to reach that, because we are able to recognize as the closer you come to Kodesh Baruch Hu, first of all you recognize whatever Hashem does is for the good. So basically, a person has that attitude right away. So whatever's going through his life, it takes it easy. It's easier to take. Life treats a person many, many different ways. But if a person has this emunah, whatever Hashem does is for the good, already makes his mind already, puts him at ease. And this person is a gratified person. Of course, it's a madrega to reach that. And then he says, and we may even learn, he says, how to focus. We have to focus on the inner awareness. Right, the inner awareness, ledabig b'nekudas emes. Every yid has within himself the nekudas emes. Leman, he says, liskois lekoicha ikri, and that is, what is the koich ikri? The ikri is koich shviris hayetzer hara. Alright, so now, having said that, so what does that get us all? Well, all of this that we have said. So he says, now he comes down, he says, this really basically answers the question. He's going to explain. It comes out that every yid has to realize that he has a tremendous, tremendous Yerusha, a very rich spiritual Yerusha. That's Yerusha, of course, that we got from our Ovis, we got from Avraham Avinu. And that is something that we have the ability, to ignite that, we have the ability to go deeper within ourselves. It's in the Pnimi Yisalev, every Yid has, no matter what, but in the Pnimi Yisalev, deep in the recess of his heart, there is that Nekud of truth is there. The moment that he wants to really bring that out, he has a where to come and to take it, and to be able to utilize that, and to build on that, ultimately, to be able to break his Yetzer Hara. He has that ability. He has the potential to change his life around. Now, if that's the case, so now look at the marshal now. Let's go back. He says, V'ata Nesimen Olev. This is now, let's see, said, because basically what he wants to go, what he's going to explain now is, return to the basic question in this paragraph, go back to the basic question of Hashem's, what does it mean, Midas Arachmin? What does attribute of mercy mean? Right? Because remember we have the difficulty, the question, what is the idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu deals favorably with children of his beloved Ovos? What does that mean? Kodesh Baruch Hu deals favorably with children of his beloved Ovos? He says, but now he says, we can see, he says, you know, says Rav Dessler, the reason we only ask the question to begin with, the reason we ask the question is because of our superficial understanding, he was right, the concepts involved. But he says now, but we can make it clearer, he says, by this marshal. Vata Nesimen Olev, he says, pay attention, he says, and you'll see the following. Imagine the following marshal. He says, Im yuvu shnei ganovim lifnei ha-shofet l'shofto. I want you to imagine that you have two people, you have two ganovim that are standing before a court. Both are charged with identical crimes. Right? And they both deserve sheyusmu b'masar. They both deserve to be imprisoned, to put in jail. Alright? Mitzad the crimes, they both deserve. So now, before sentencing, the judge asks reports on the backgrounds of these two young criminals. Okay? Before sentencing, the judge asks, but the report is on the background of these two criminals. And the following is, Ulai Efshel Isaknom. He says, in other words, how did they really get into the crime in the first place? Right? And the point Radessa points out, the judge is not out for vengeance. That Kodesh Baruch does not judge for vengeance. But he says later on, it brings the famous pasuk, we say the davening banila. The Novi says, Kolo yach pois b'mois ha-meis. What does that mean? Kodesh Baruch is not waiting b'mois ha-meis. Ki b'shuva medarko v'choyo. So therefore, when you have these two criminals standing before you, right, so he wants to find how they get into the crime in the first place. So he's not out for... Now, let me just explain. So the judge wants to find out how did they get into this crime in the first place, which means that if, let's say, Louis, if you could remedy this situation without sending to prison, if you could solve this problem without sending to prison, you would be very happy. Prison is not a means to an end. So if you'd be able to remedy this situation, he says, without, be happy. So the report, Rav Dessler says, let's imagine that report, and we'll soon see it inside, it's just so we get the concept. Let's say the report on the first one shows that he is from an honest, respectable family. Yeah? It means he got involved in crime, he says, only through the influence because he had a bad friend, he had bad charusis, he kept bad company. If he would be returned to his parents and remain under their influence, says Rav Dessler, there's a good chance they would never go back to crime, In that case, the judge, he says, reasons, I think it might be better to try this method, he says, instead of sending him to prison. Because why? Because being that he comes from such a good background, by bringing him back right into the background, letting him go back to the background of his parents, be under the influence of his parents, remain in their, right, in their sphere, so there's a good chance that he will not go back to the crime, and that's the ultimate tachlis. That's the ultimate tachlis, that he should not go back to his crime. He says, so maybe it might be better to do that. Sending someone to prison, what would Lab Dafka think of that? The whole shakta of attire today, is that rehabilitation of any kind? Now, but that's what it says, when he looks into the report, he says, of the second one, he finds that there's no one who can exert any influence on him. The second one's background, there's no one in his background that could have influence. So in other words, the only severe punishment, he said, would likely deter him. You need the punishment as a deterrent. Because there's nothing that could influence him besides his background. So it's only possibly that the punishment would deter him, he says. So the judge, therefore, he considers it, and he points out, and to his regret, he says, I have to put him to prison. Because he has no alternative but to send him to prison. So let's take a look inside here. Let's start with this marshal here. Then we'll see the nimshal. You'll see how the nimshal works. V'ato nesim noleivim. Yivu shnei genovim. If you have two genovim. Livne ashoifim l'shoftim. V'yachkev yimso kigon v'shneim. V'ruim sheyusim v'bamasa. And they both deserve right to be put into jail. V'hine yisboinen ashoifim l'tzibus ha'pesha. So then he looks into the background, right, of the crime. U'layef shel esaknom. Sheyichyu chayim yisharim. Maybe I can do something, right, that they should go back to lead a righteous life. V'layasu oveloi. Do not return to the crime. Yibliz some oysum abeis hakele. Not throwing him to prison. The tachlis of prison is not nekama. So the question is, where's the better place? Where's the better choice to make the tikkun? So the judge investigates the background of each of the two. So now when he investigates, he says, right, the background, right? One of the criminals, he comes from a very choshev family. The whole karev of anoshim yisharim, and the relatives all around, he says, are righteous people. Elishoy lo yezah chomera. It turned out he turned criminal because he had some bad friend. Ajehesi soy selachtoy that influenced him to sin. Omnom, but the judge reckons imim seru lishus avoysov v'tachas hashpoosom under the hashpo of the parents ozil moishloi rasos roi leyolam v'imkein oma hashoyvet aliboy. So the shoyvetak says to himself, so the judge says to himself, halitoyvli lasos kochom losu moishu b'masiv. It's better, right? Better put him in the positive sviva. Better put him in the positive sviva, right? With that, we'll have much better influence than stop throwing him into the prison. But now when he also investigates the background of the second one, mostly finds out he finds Nebuch, the second one doesn't have, there's nowhere to turn back, there's nowhere to let him go back to, he has no one to go back to, he has no one that will have any positive influence. So the only deterrent that's left is to throw him to prison. He says he will not get to punish him appropriately. He's boyin a shayfet malasas boy, right? And the shayfet therefore, right, understands the ladavoyna, and to his regret, he doesn't want to really throw him in the prison. He would adrabe. There'd be another choice. Another choice, like in the first case, adrabe. Let him go back and let him have some, in an area that would be some positive influence on him. But to his regret, in the second case, there's no other choice than to throw. There's no alternative than to throw him there. Lemos eitz achesh elalasu beisasoy. Says Adesto. Now here comes the point. But this is now a different taich with Midas Arach and Midas Adin. It's not the way we understand it. They're not contradictory. Your rabbi said, Midas Adin and Midas Arach are not contradictory. But we always understood Midas Adin, right, going straight. Right, letter of the law, that's Midas Adin. Justice. Midas Arach may mean like Torah Lev. No. But that's for sure, Midas Adin and Midas Arach are not contradictory. They're both trying to do the same thing. The question is, what's the difference in methodology? It's a difference in methodology. That's all. We have to achieve one thing. If you can achieve it this way, we'll do it this way. If not, we've got to go this way. But the difference between Midas Adin and Midas Arachim is not one case we want to give guy Rachmanis one guy. No. We want one thing, to produce a certain result of positiveness. And therefore, the choice is which is going to be the best way to produce. Which is the best way to produce that which we want to achieve? Says Radesh is following. Hatzir Hazeh, the motion that I gave you now, he says, Nifla Meoid. He says it's a tremendous moshul lahovin, to understand it's inyam midas adin and midas rachamim. The echshneiam, he says, emes gimura. He says the truth is, he says, in midas rachamim, Rabbi Sai,
When HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Midas HaRachamim, here the Nekudah. This is where you have to phrase it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Midas HaRachamim, guess what? Midas HaDin agrees. You hear the word? Ah. It's not this Midas HaDin or Midas HaRachamim. I say, okay, Midas HaDin, I don't care about you. I'm going to go Midas HaDin. No. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Midas HaRachamim, Midas HaDin agrees that that's the best way. And explains. Hina Hashem Yisbarach, he says, first the premises. The premises in Hashem Yisbarach, Lo Yachpuz B'mois HaMeis. That's the first premise. Punishment is not for the sake of punishment. He does not want B'mois HaMeis. There's no such thing punishment for the sake of punishment. We want to achieve something. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want B'mois HaMeis. Does not want to wipe out a person. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants really a person is that he mends his ways. He does shuva. Now, let's stop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants shuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now looks into the heart of this particular, what's called criminal, like in the Moshul. Is there some ingredients of shuva there in him? Does he have it? Does he have some ingredients of shuva there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want B'mois HaMeis, he wants shuva. So he looks at this Baal Choyte. Does he have within him signs of tshuva? Does he have seeds of tshuva in him? Achu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Boichen Lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Boichen Lev, right? He examines the heart. The Choyker Kloyos. Which means he searches out the innermost longings of a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what's within, right? What's in that person, in the depth. Lodas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows mi oiki, mi oimer hu lasa yeshuva. Umi rochek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Person is who's really, reasonably, right? Who can expect is going to do tshuva? And who is rochek, stands very far from tshuva. And by the way, and if a person take, right? If a person take not up to doing tshuva because he's not going to do tshuva, what's the only etzer? The etzer is throw him into prison. Throw him into prison, that's the only etzer. Right, that it has to be deterred. What else is going to deter him? So therefore, b'lo yisuken bilti im yanishu oynishmar. So such a situation can only be corrected by severe punishment. Ebuch, there's not. Abraham, you want to do tshuva? Do tshuva. I wish to do tshuva. Because Rosh looks into your heart. He's not going to do tshuva. Why should he do tshuva? Your punishment, maybe that. So he has to have punishment first. So he says like this. Lo'oifanu achrem. He said to this last example that we said, we call that midas hadin. Because that person is not ready to do tshuva. So how do we bring him back into society? How do we change him around for the betterment of society? He himself should change. So therefore he says, Kinira, we only call him Midas HaDin. The truth is, that's his rachamim. Because that's the only way that's going to turn him around to make him good. We call him Midas HaDin because to the naked eye, right, to the naked eye, we saw that what? That justice prevailed upon him. We saw that punishment came upon him. But that's really the Midas HaRachamim. That Midas HaDin itself is Midas HaRachamim. Because there's no alternative. There's nothing else that's going to turn him around. He needs something. He needs that jolt. He needs that smack in the back. He needs that. So he said, we call it Midas HaDin. We just call it that way. Ki nira, why? Ki appear shepoygaz b'yad Hashem lanishoy. Right? We appear it because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised his hand in punishment. But in reality, Midas HaRachamim also agrees to it. You know what? Midas HaRachamim also agrees. He needs that punishment. That's not a stira. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this person needs Midas HaDin, Midas HaRachamim also agrees to it. We call it Midas HaDin. We say, oh, Midas HaDin is a mafal. No, Midas HaRachamim also agrees. There's no other choice in this case. He said, well, that's why he says, Ach be'emes, he says, Gam HaRachamim yoyim rukocho. The truth in such a situation, Midas HaRachamim also demands this course of action. Ki ma betzam lo yanishuhu. In other words, what advantage would there be not punishing him? What advantage would there be not punishing him, he says? Haloi oz yosef ra'al ro. You don't punish him, it'll only go from bad to worse. Right? So you have to punish him. So Midas HaRachamim also agrees. Midas HaRachamim also agrees. Now, well, if you're not shady, but the other way, again, the same criminal. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, but this person, under the right circumstances, he's going to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that this person really is going to do tshuva. He has the ability to do tshuva. He'll have the rotzen to do tshuva. So then we don't punish him. So we call him Midas HaRachamim, right? Guess what? Midas HaDin also agrees to it. Is it also agrees that this is the proper path? It's not a stira. It's not a stira, he said. So the oifen hashen, to the other case, we call it Midas HaRachamim. Okay, and even though we call it Midas HaRachamim, gam haloi gam hadin yaskim lozeh. The truth is Midas HaDin also agrees to that. Why? Because the main purpose, whether we call it Midas HaDin, Midas HaRachamim, to achieve one end. Shows which road are you going to achieve that end? Both midas agree that this is the best way for him, and both midas agree this is the best way for him. So he says, Achrich kol ikra kavona b'mishpat. After all, the whole kavona, he says, of mishpat is, what is the kavona of mishpat? The kavona of mishpat is mila heiti v'sono l'saknoi. That's the end that we try to achieve. So if sheshiasa tshuva, so if the person taka had within himself to do tshuva, v'yisukin v'yifin zeh, loma lo lo anisha, we have to punish him. We have to punish him. I'd rather. Oh, but don't make a mistake like we always thought. That's what Rav Dessler says. There's no possibility, he says, and don't make that mistake. In other words, there's no hope that a person, he says, that without tshuva, that midas harachamim will wipe out the chait. There's no such thing. We always say midas harachamim. There's something called midas harachamim. If you won't have rachmanis, okay, just forgive you. No. There's no such thing that midas rachman wipes out of aveiros. That's no such thing. That's what he says. Ein shum efsheris shetiu midas rachman mechelus legamrei sachet. That's not going to happen. B'li shum tam. Right? The gamim loyti atikva. He says, shistakim hodom es darkoi gam b'li ha'oinish. He says, if without oinish, if there's no hope, he says, that he's going to change his ways, midas rachman is not going to fix it. As a matter of fact, that's what Chazal is saying. We want Bava Kama in a number of places. Shas Bava Kama in the Sanhedrin. Actually, Bava Kama, because this memory, the Gemara says that Kol Oimar Kodesh Baruch Hu Vatran. Somebody who says, "Oh, Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Vatran," what it means to say is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is just Moichel. Just a side man. He forgoes, right? He forgoes Averis and forgives Averis just like that. Perish in Mavatru Moichel. Believe Tam shall Efshir Shuva. The Kishbach Stamazo is Moichel even without the possibility of Shuva. Because the Kishbach Stamazo is Moichel, it says, Yevutru Chayov. Yevutru Chayov means to say is that his person's own life is also forgone. If you think of Kishbach for go sins, your own life is also hanging on the balance, so to speak. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it that way. And then he says, here, very interesting thing, but he says over here. He says, we have found, to illustrate this, that there's a remarkable case. We know the case of the Ben Sora Moira. Ben Sora Moira is the case of the rebellious child. By the rebellious child, we see that what? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Torah imposes upon him the utmost, right? The Midas Adin, right? That what? The Ben Sora Moira is taken from the world at an early stage. That's not because of Midas Adin, it's out of Rachmanis. Because the Torah already, right? The Torah already anticipated that if you, right, if you just leave him be, one thing will just lead to another, it'll go from bad to worse. So he said, by Sarma, you also find that. By Sarma, you find the rebellious child, even though he is still, even though he's still so young, on him. And Chazal said, you know why? Because being that the Torah is upon him, this particular behavior. So the Torah analyzed. The Torah analyzed that being that this type of destructive behavior is so embedded in him, rochaku moed shiasa tshuva. Okay, that was the assessment. Valkein toivu avuroi. So the assessment was what's best for him. Ki yomus kishu lo yichoto oid arbe. Better let him leave the world before he sinned, right? Too much. So what do you see? We see in this case, he says, the Midas Harachim also agrees to the Midas Adin. It's not just based upon Midas Adin. Hareki b'matzav kozeh Midas Adin, muskem is gam, b'sad Midas Harachim. So I want to go to the sheet. Let me just tell you. So here's the answer. Vessel says, and we're just going to say about, so chus oved doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu just takes chus of the oved and gives it to you. There's nothing for free. Chus oved means is that we have within ourselves, he says, the madreges that the oved have worked for. We have this chus oved, we have within ourselves the potential. Like what Rav Dessler said from Chaim Volozhin. We have, because chus oved means we have the merit. The merit means we have the ability to lead to all of the madreges. To lead to all the madreges, he also says, chus is from Loshin, Shemen Zayezoch. To purify ourselves. The oved gave us the ability, chus oved zachus, right? To purify ourselves. So therefore, if we are choyte, so instead if we said, throwing into jail, because Baruch Hu says, maybe you can be rehabilitated differently. I see that you have the ability within yourselves to do tshuva. So that's the Midas Rachman. The Midas Rachman says, we're the type of, quote, criminal that comes from a good background. We sinned because of Dovah Chitzoini. Maybe we had a bad friend, maybe a bad influence. But if we understand, because Baruch Hu said that we understand the situation, that we are, chus oved means that we have this gewaltige background, so that influence of our background means that we have reality, we have those koiches to be able to bounce back without punishment. If that's the case, because Rosh sees it within us, that's what it means. But it's not something we take mitzvahs or schusim and just throw it on to you. That's not what schusim always means. Anyway, that is the concept that Rav Desto Taka develops over here. And that's what Rosh Desto Yisrael. So I want to go a little bit to the sheet. Just want to show you, it's just a very beautiful word that we see, we just saw about Sura Moira, about Midas Adin and Midas Arachim is not a stira. This is a word from Rav Zsolti, actually. If you take a look here, the first item that we have here, it's a printed Nakovitz Moiria, actually. You bring like this. It's an interesting thing. If you see it here, B'tzilus Rosh Hashanah, Oiveres Kechut Hashanah, he says, we over and over again, what you find, the theme that runs in the Tzilus of Rosh Hashanah, right? Ha-ha-kore, Shokol Echod, right? Kimidis Adin Lo Yiskep. We see in the Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah, because Baruch Hu Cholila goes with Midas Adin, we can't win. Remember the lashon Im Tematze Yoy Mekadin, right? Mi Yizdak Lefanecho Badin, because Baruch Hu will exercise, right? Because Baruch Hu will come with Adin, who can be Zoyche? V'rak b'midas Arachmim onu toilim tikvaseinu. We say Keil Melech Yoshev al Kisei Arachmim. So Rav Zsolti says over here, Gevaldi Gezach, you want Midas Arachmim, right? Rav Zsolti says, you're not so safe with Midas Arachmim. Midas Arachmim, he says, can do a lot, but we would perceive to be a lot of Midas Adin can come as a result of Midas Arachmim. Achla mito shel dover gam Midas Arachmim yeshli hisyorei. From Midas Arachmim, we also have to fear. You're not safe. You're not automatically safe, he says, because of Midas Arachmim. Ki yesh, listen to what he says, v'odam abed chayev davke mitzad Midas Arachmim. Is shaykh mitzad Midas Adin, maybe you have still been alive. You can lose your life davke because of Midas Arachmim. What's the case, Ben Sura Moir? He's the Moshul. And he prefaces it very interesting. The answer is a beautiful kasha. Kasha Masho asks, actually. And many before Shem ask. Let's take a look here. We find Shekhoz B'Toyer. We find when it comes to Yishmoel. Right? Find Yishmoel. V'yem elikim malach elikim al hoger min ha-shamayim. Malach elikim says hoger min ha-shamayim. V'yem elikim malach hoger al tiri kishom elikim al koil hanar. Ba'asher hushom. Now what does it mean? Hashem heard the cry, right, of the young boy, Ba'asher hushom. Hashem listened to him as he is there. What is the emphasis? As he is there. So the famous Rashi, what does Rashi say? Lefi ma'isim shu oisa achshav hu nidun. Because Baruch Hu does not judge according to the future. God judges you the way now. V'loy lefi ma'ashu hu osid lasuis. Gemara v'sheshona. Judgment is according to the present mitzvahs, even though the future right may hold very, very dismal, very, very bleak. Because Baruch Hu judges every moment you're being judged for the now. As he says, Lafishwai Malach Shores Mekatring and Voimrib. The Malachim, they knew what Yishmoel is going to do in the future. So they came, right, and they were Mekatring, they came accusatory. They came to the Rabbi Nishloilam. Misha Osid Zaroi Lohomis Banecho. Right? The descendants of Yishmoel are going to kill Jewish people, but some are in thirst and so on. Atomaloli bear, why are you giving water to Yishmoel? The whole story there, there was no bear. All of a sudden that bear appeared. You're giving water to Yishmoel when his descendants are going to, right, deprive Jewish people and allow them to die in thirst? But who mashivim? So what was the answer? Forget about what the descendants are going to do. Yishmoel now, is he a tzaddik or a rasha? At this point, he wasn't really a rasha. Achshav mahu, tzaddik or rasha? Omer loy tzaddik. So he said, for now, right, now he's a tzaddik. Omer lahem, because Baruch Hu said, lefi masav shel achshav anidon. So are you looking for now? That's mean, ba'asher husham. Because Baruch Hu listened to Ma'asher husham. What's the famous kasha? So Hakam ben Sura Moira, right? Based upon what he did now, he's not Chayv Misa. He's Chayv Misa based upon what is going to ensue in the future. So you're judging the ben Sura Moira. You're punishing him, not for the now. You're punishing for what he's going to do in the future. Why didn't you say ba'asher husham? So, and I say the Marsha discusses this as well. La'oir hadvorim halolu, based upon this Rashi, niskashu meforashim beparshas ben Sura Moira, Shomu Chazal have said, Mutav Yomus Zakai, right? Let him die, Zakai. We kill him now while he is still sort of innocent. Vayomus Chayef, rather than to wait later on where he really does very serious stuff. The question is, v'loyesh lodim asod b'asher husham. Right? We should. A person has to be judged b'asher husham. V'loma yeyonish ben sora moira al shem soifoy. Why do we judge the ben sora moira al shem soifoy? Right? That is the question. V'nira. It's very interesting the way the lashon of Rav Zsolti. If you see the lashon the way he writes it so beautifully, he says, v'nira. Listen to this. Ki oynish ze omnom einu mitzad adin. Ben Sura Moira Taka, he's not being punished with Sadadin, because with Sadadin you go Ba'asher Husham.
He's not being punished mitzad hadin. Ki mitzad midas hadin omnom, you're right. Mitzad midas hadin omnom, you're right. Yesh lodun kol echod bashru shom. Ela shekan dono ha-toyres aben, the Torah judged him. Mitzad midas rachmonis. See, midas rachmonis doesn't say bashru shom. Midas hadin says bashru shom. But this is midas rachmonis. Mitzad midas zu yesh loimer mutav yomu zakav al yomu schaiv. So he dies mitzad midas rachmonis, not mitzad midas hadin. Midas hadin is bashru shom. So it comes out that Dafke, because of Midas Rachman, he loses his life. And he shows a very interesting thing. Where else do we find that because of Midas HaRachmim? Dafke, he says, very beautifully, din, because there we find a similar din. Shubo mitzad Rachmanis, a din that comes because of Rachmanis, etel Chanoich. Chanoich was the Tzadik Ador. Right? Chanoich. Right? We find in Bereishis. Chanoich. Veinenu kilok achoyse elikim. Chanoich was a tremendous tzaddik. He dies before his time. Why does he die before his time? Nishval gezindik. What does Rashi say? So Rashi says, b'shem ha-medrash, tzaddik hoyo. Chanoich was a tzaddik, but the kal b'dato iloshuv l'arshia. He lived in a generation of Rishoyim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was concerned that what he may be influenced. So before he's influenced, we take his life. So he's really a tzaddik. His life is being taken as a tzaddik. Pekal b'datoy, but it would be easy for him, lo shuv laharshia. L'fichoch mi'er HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'silkoi v'heimisoi kodim zmanoi. So Rav Zsolti says, ze'enem esad midas hadin. The life that was taken, Chanoich's life was not taken esad midas hadin, esad midas harachmim. We had Rachmanes, Kadosh Baruch Hu was worried that what, if I leave him alone around this world, look what might happen to him. Lo shuv laharshia. So what do you see? Hareishi eshli siyari lepamim gamim midazu. So it means if you think you're so posh, midas harachim may not be so much on your side, so to speak, right? So you have to be afraid for midas harachim. Therefore, ben sora moir says v'cholom yishmu v'yiro. He says very interesting. He says ben sora moir is lahoyev lanivra, right? So what does it mean yishmu? What does it mean everybody should see? What does it mean v'cholom yishmu v'yiro? According to those that say ben sora moir never ever happened. Yishmu v'yiro is what you learn from Ben Sora Moira, that Midas HaRachmim can take your life. That's the lesson, whether it actually happened to Ben Sora Moira or not. But that concept, that's what you see from Ben Sora Moira. Yes, v'l'chayrim, Ben Sora Moira, yisrael l'hoiv l'nivro. Ma yesh l'sori? What is it to be afraid of? Elezu ya'yiro, ki ho'om royim she'efshel ha'yonish gam Midas HaRachmonis. And that's really in a nutshell, if you think about it, that's what Rav Tetzel said. When Midas HaRachmim chooses, Midas HaDin says, yeah, I also agree this is the best way. And sometimes when Kodesh Baruch Hu uses Midas Adin, Midas Rachman is also, I agree, this is the best way. Like upon, there's no steer between Midas Adin and Midas Rachman. We want to achieve one result, one positive result. Question, which is the best result? And once you decide which is the best result, both Midas agree. We just call it Midas Adin, because to the naked eye, this one was punished, this one was not punished. We call this Midas Rachman. But when Midas Rachman prevails, Midas Adin also agreed. And when Midas Adin prevailed, Midas Rachman also agreed. But we don't see behind the scenes. We see this one had Midas Adin, this one got Midas HaRachman. So we refer to it that way. But in reality, he says, this is really what happens. The Taklas is the one thing. The best way to bring a person to tshuva, to see to it, in fact, that he turns around. We have 2 minutes of our Mishnah. Just let me tell you, let's end with a little Maisa we didn't do for a while. And this is something that, regarding the talking about Rav Dessler, so this is the Shaykh is here. In about 1998, Dayan Chanoich Ehrentrau of London, he was discussing the importance of being sensitive to the feelings of others. So he said the following story, and he said, this is the Maisa that he told. Dayan Ehrentrau, well known, Dayan in London. So it was a Friday afternoon, he says, Chodesh Kislev, like now, but it says it was in 1951. Chodesh Kislev says in 1951, he said there was an atmosphere of tremendous sadness in the house of Rav Dessler, right? He was already living in Bnei Brak because he was the Mashgiach of Ponovich, because his wife was Nifter. 1951. The wife of Rav Dessler was Nifter, so she passed away. It was the Friday night before, and now he was preparing for the first Shabbos alone. He was preparing now for there's the first Shabbos he was preparing alone. You can imagine, first Shabbos without his wife. In the meantime, there was an endless flow of people, one can imagine, came to be Menachem Avil, him, during the week of Shiva. And he was a world-renowned mashgiach. He was punished and known throughout the Torah world for sitkis and so on. By the way, the Chazon Ish said, I just want to mention this also, the Chazon Ish said about Rav Dessler, he says, Godel hador in koiches hanefesh. He's the Godel hador in koiches hanefesh, which means the leader of the generation in analyzing human potential. A Godel hador in koiches hanefesh. He's the Godel hador in recognizing human potential. So that was an hour before Shabbos. The apartment was basically almost empty. So one of his Talmidim served as a little Heusbacher, being like Sickle Mishamish to Rav Dessler. And he was setting the Shabbos table. So the tablecloth and the chalas, the chves, were being set on the table. So Rav Dessler, he goes ahead and he whispers to the Talmud, he says, put back that Kiddush cup, he says. Put back that Kiddush kois and take out the other one, he said, that's on the shelf. Told him to switch the becher. Switch the becher. Talmud was very surprised. They didn't see what's the big deal, what difference would it make. But he knew this was not the right time to ask his Rebbe. But he remained curious, and he knew there had to be a reason. He knew there had to be a reason. And Rav Dessler, being the quintessential Baal Musar, had to have a good reason for whatever he did, every action. So after the Suda, the Talmud, he asks him, he said, what's the pshat of this? So, pointed out like this. Rav Dessler, as we said, he comes to Bnei Brak. It was about in Pesach 1949. They settled in Bnei Brak, and he assumes the position, because he came from England, from Gateshead, as you know, he assumes the position of being Mashgiach in Ponovich. Here, now, listen to this. Remember we said a moment ago, we spoke about Rav Chaim Moiser writing that letter? Right, in 1920, that's when Rav Dessler got married. Rav Chaim Moiser wrote a letter. So, Rav Dessler always made Kiddush on the kois that he and his wife received as a gift from Rav Chaim Moiser. That was the cup. So now we know what the wedding present was. They didn't just send a card, it was a present too. Okay? So they made Kiddush, Rav Dessler made Kiddush on the kois that received as a wedding present he received from Rav Dessler. Now that's not some. Rav Chaim Moiser received that kois as his own wedding present from Yisroel Salanter, his first wife's grandfather. Okay, so you see what that kois was. So this is really Rav Salanter's kois. Going down to Rav Chaim Moiser. Rav Chaim Moiser giving it to Rav Dessler. On the first Shabbos of Bnei Brak, right, Rav Dessler used a different kois. Noticing that this was not the family kois. So the Rebbetzin asked him, why are you not using the kois that we use? This is the Chasana kois. That's the kois that we use. So Dessler said, you know, I live now in Bnei Brak. Asra Demar, the Mordasra is the Chazon Ish, he says. Chazon Ish has a different shear. I live now in Bnei Brak, he says. I live now in Bnei Brak, and therefore it's only appropriate to follow the halachic opinion of the Chazon Ish. According to him, the Chazon Ish's kois, the shear was larger than the one. So therefore, Rav Dessler wanted to use the larger kois. Yeah? The Rebbetzin disagreed. And Rav Dessler said, okay, we're not going to use the Chazon Ish kois. We're going to use the regular kois. So he used the regular kois, even though he felt the appropriate thing was in Bnei Brak. But the Rebbetzin was nifter. He went back to take Chazon Ish kois. Calls when she was alive, did not want to be mitzai her in any way. And he used that kois, even though he felt he should be using the other one. Now that she's nifter, he said, go change and switch the kois. That's again another step, Rabbi said, we learn from tzaddikim. How every step in the way, everything is gemustin. Okay, Rabbi said.